New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Welcome in to another episode of Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined out always by Rob and Chris. It is middle early stages of August. Normally I'd be saying we're barreling into SummerSlam, but that shit's over. We're barreling into Clash at the Castle. We know where we're going to get in the main event. We know where we're going to get on the SmackDown women's side. So things kind of shaping in the place, but we got three weeks of professional wrestling in 2006 to help get us all caught up. Before we go into that, let's just very quickly talk about what's really been, how do I put this? Hunter Hearst Helmsley is righting all of the wrongs that Vince McMahon has done over the past 2 years, or at least in his viewpoint, wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting week. You know, I thought Raw was really good, but I've liked Raw for most of the year. I thought SmackDown was still kind of bad. You know, the Karrion Kross stuff, he's not for me. I was a little upset about it when it happened, but ultimately, it's going to be fine.
Did you know it immediately, like I, and did you shout, oh, you fucking kidding me, him, really, him?
I did, yes.
At least they brought back her, but him?
Yeah, no, I turned it off and then just watched Bob's Burgers movie and just didn't go on Twitter for the next day. And it was a good way to spend my time, but, you know, it'll be fine. Like, I don't think he's going to be like the top champion on either show. You know, he's credible enough, I guess. And apparently Triple H was, you know, not thrilled with how his main roster run went last time. So I think there's a fine line between, you know, bringing back all the NXT people that got released and just trying to make the main roster into NXT Black and Gold again and kind of continuing the product how it's been the past, you know, 30 years that they've been on television. But, you know, they'll find it, I think. I mean, SmackDown in particular clearly needed new depth and new players. And I don't think we're done yet on Raw or SmackDown. I think there could be more debuts coming even tonight. So, you know. It's been an interesting week. I think it's been SmackDown was actually, like, for as down as I've been on it, I thought Ricochet and Corbin was very good. I thought the Gauntlet was fine. It hasn't been bad. I mean, it's nice to see things kind of have stakes now. Yeah. And they did that really good on Raw, I think, last week with the triple threats. And that's something they've done before, but I think
the video package was tremendous.
Yes, the video package for US title was great. You know, looking forward to Nakamura and Gunther this week. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that I think is going to be good.
Are we getting a non-commercial first hour like we did last week?
That would be cool. I don't know if we are.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I like them.
Yeah, it helped everything.
Everything flowed well in the first hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been just a subtle change. Like, they've really cut back on the camera cuts, you know. Still more to do there, obviously, but you know, the promos are looser, and apparently they're just calling matches in the ring now, which, you know, that's cool. Trust your guys to go out there and, you know, not have a super scripted match. And yeah, it's been good so far. I'm interested in seeing kind of when the NFL ramps back up, what they do with Raw.
Yeah, I'll be interested in that too, because I think that they do have some possibilities there where they could have some pretty good main events or pretty good first or second hour matches, whenever you want to put them up. Especially with their women, if they continue to progress upwards, like I think they will. In particular, I would just like to point out, I don't know if it's the direction, but I just want to point out that I believe it's the third Monday in September, September 19th. They're in San Jose, California. I believe the draft is happening in October, so they want to do Bianca versus Bayley in San Jose, they could. That would be a good attraction.
Yeah, that's not the worst idea, because that's either the first week or second week of Monday Night Football
exactly,
as well.
Yeah, so they'll, you know, they can probably bring some eyeballs there too.
Yeah.
So that's just free idea out there in the landscape. SmackDown definitely needs work still, especially I think just with depth in the women, but obviously as we pretty much said on, you know, this show for the last almost year now, they pretty much self-sabotage themselves by overcompensating for how much SmackDown had favor in September 2021, and they sent pretty much everyone over to Raw and then cut the rest of their depth, so anybody could have seen what has happened in the last couple of months coming. But you know, I think it's a little bit of a more well-structured show. And I think that there's, you know, people who have clear goals, and I think that they could still, you know, repackage some people. I know they could do that with Angel and Humberto. I know Angel Burza got his last beam back. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. They can do that with them. And yeah, I mean, that, you know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's just going to be kind of those subtle changes for now. It's not going to be like an immediate shift, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction, because I think we can all agree, and we talked about it a little bit last week, but the past 3 or 4 years, it just has gotten kind of not great, and Triple H is trying to clean up the mess now, and, you know, good for him.
I mean, it is hard when you see a lot of these folks really ply their trade in NXT, and you know, they find good characters that connect to audiences, and then the second they get to the main roster, they're forced to change what about them was popular and got over. And yes, you always want to try to make little tweaks here and there because it's different audiences, but it seemed like the wrestlers that we would see down in developmental were completely different wrestlers by the time they got or on their stay in the main roster. They were completely different wrestlers. And you know, say whatever you want about Cross and, you know, his affiliations out of the ring. Triple H got a lot of promise with him. He's somebody that at least when Triple H has his hands on him, you trust what they can do with Karrion Kross. So I can trust what Triple H wants to do with him. It's up to Karrion Kross in the ring to be interesting and to be entertaining and to give you the one care about him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's guys like Dijak, who in NXT, like, you're building yourself into a solid mid-carder. And yeah, then immediately you come up and then you're T-bar.
Yeah, and I think that'll be reversed in the next couple months. I'd be surprised if it's not.
I would be shocked if it's not reversed tonight.
Yeah, because yeah, he was on main event last week against Shelton as T-bar, but it yeah, seems like
he's
like
always been on main event.
So, yeah,
you know, he's always on TV. You might as well just flip it now. Or I guess he's always on Hulu. You might as well flip it now.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even a guy like Tozawa, I think, like, he might not be featured on TV every week, but I think he's probably going to at least not be, you know, the ninja anymore. He might be on main event just as Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, that's the thing. I know they're going through and kind of talking to everyone about their outlook and their place on the roster. And some people are probably going to, I don't know if they're going to get released, but they might just not have. I don't think a new regime wants to come in and just, you know, do releases right away. But also, like,
but also, if you basically are like,
okay, you could also be like, hey, if you don't want to be here, you can leave, which is something that I don't think they were doing. With Vince.
No, they definitely weren't. I mean, it's like with any new regime when it comes to even just, you know, coaching or in sports. If you don't fit the scheme or the vision, then you might be on your way out.
Yeah.
That also happens just, you know, with new regime coming in being like the GM of a team or whatever, or the coach or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, obviously. You don't want anyone losing their jobs, but this was an obvious consequence of a regime change. No one, not everyone always comes out unscathed and regime change benefit.
Yeah.
You see it now, you see it with Warner Brothers and Discovery. That's just how it goes. So I'm not going to be shocked if usage rate for certain people goes down pretty precipitously, or even in some cases rapidly, in the next couple of weeks or months at all. I'm not going to be surprised if anyone, you know, is granted their way out at all. So that's just, I mean, that's just a natural consequence. So I'm not shocked that, you know, you have, like, I don't know. Lacey hasn't been mentioned on TV. She wasn't on TV the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
anyone who's like a, I guess, a Vince project, he suggests something like that.
Yeah, Omos and Ezekiel were on Main Event last week. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things change. I mean, because there are some people that you could just, you know, have go work NXT as well as a veteran, and that could kind of be a way to reshape them as well, like they did with Slater and Rhino, you know, back in the day. But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. It's interesting that they have a new kind of vision and direction for the first time that any of us have been watching.
God, I'm so happy to be free of Jason Hayward. All right, let's go back to the year 2006. I can't remember. What did we last leave off?
What was it? Edge won the title. Rob Van Dam got suspended.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, because RVD got suspended and then Edge won the title. And we have a Saturday night's main event coming up. We got a pay-per-view. We got a lot of stuff. So just get into it here. Starting with the top five songs of the week, It's Going Down is down to number five. Me and You is into the top five at number four. Crazy by Gnarls Barkley is at number three.
Shout out to Cassie. Cassie been through a lot of shit. I love that.
Yes. And then Hips Don't Lie and Promiscuous stay at number two and number one, which will be the case for a good portion of the summer, I believe. I mean, I know Crazy stays up there as well, but those are really the three songs that stuck out. In the movies, Cars is down to number five, Click is down to four, Devil Wears Prada is down to three, Superman Returns is down to two, and debuting at number one is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, which is the second, third one.
Third, it is the third second. One. No, it's the second. Second. The third one comes out in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I honestly never saw it.
I saw the first one.
I finished it, but I don't think I've ever finished it in one sitting.
Yeah. So we can move into Raw, July.
Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, July 10th, 2006, Sioux City, Iowa. Lillian Garcia introduces new WWE Champion Edge to open the show. Edge and Lita come out, set up shop next to King and JR at the Rated R announce table. A little bit, you know. We got our first match, John Cena against Shelton Benjamin.
What a match.
Hell of a match up there. Edge and Lita are proposing another live sex celebration. See how that goes. Cena's on the top rope and Edge distracts him. Shelton hits a springboard enziguri. Get a nice back and forth. And then Shelton eventually taps to the STFU. Cena goes after Edge, but Lita grabs Cena's leg and Edge hits DDT. And then Edge says they're going back to the hotel.
Okay. Eugene and Gene Snitsky are laughing at a video of what DX did last week to Vince. Vince and Shane came up as he's laughing and said, Eugene will be facing Vince and Shane tonight in the main event. Melina defeated Trish with the help of Johnny Nitro. Afterwards, Carlito came out to even the odds. So we've got ourselves a mixed tag match coming.
Yep.
Edge and Lita went to their hotel. The room is not ready yet, which makes Edge mad. They are going to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then in tag team action, the Highlanders defeated the likes of Matt Stryker and Rob Conway.
Sunday Night Heat ass tag team.
State of things for the Raw tag team division.
Yeah, well, it does get better.
It does.
There's a team coming in the next couple months.
Yes.
So that's good.
Ric Flair told Maria that he's going to the ring to talk about Mick Foley.
Yeah, so he goes and does that. He kicked Mick's ass in two falls and proved Mick is nothing more than a glorified stuntman. By the way, real quick, it's very funny that Ric Flair had Undertaker, Bret Hart, and Mick Foley at his last match since Bret and Mick just had very public feuds with him. You know, I don't know that Ric Flair has too many friends in the business at this point, so he just kind of had those guys show up. I was
wondering that, and I'm just like, if Mick Foley, who at a point really didn't like him, is there, and Bret Hart, who I think up to very recently did not like Ric Flair, they're both there. I don't see any Triple H, I don't see a Shawn Michaels, and like, yo, I can understand if no one who like actively works for WWE wanted nothing to do with it. Considering, you know, Flair's history.
But yeah.
It was a little bit alarming to me. And maybe most of his, like, really close people are dead. But no J.J. Dillon, no Arn Anderson, no Tully Blanchard, no Barry Windham, no nobody. That was just odd to me.
Yeah. So Mick shows up on the screen, says he wants to clear the air on some things. Like Rick's book was ghostwritten. Mick's was not. He wrote himself. And in Germany in 1994, Rick was the booker of WCW, and Mick's ear fell off, and the ring announcer went and gave it to Rick, and Rick just kind of said, you know, keep wrestling, finish the match. Mick doesn't take the easy way out, And Rick's never going to question his heart or desire, but there's also not going to be a rematch. Rick is out of Mick's life. Rick challenges Mick to a hardcore match. Paul Heyman comes out. Says that if Rick wants to have a hardcore match so bad, why doesn't he come to ECW and face ECW champion Big Show? And Rick accepts, and Big Show comes out and throws him across the ring.
Yep, and then Paul Heyman invited Candice Michelle to show up on ECW and dance with Kelly Kelly.
Yeah, ECW's very bad. We'll get into that in a little bit, but it's not a good show.
Charlie Haas and Viscera didn't really turn into much of a match. Lillian stopped him halfway and won friends. Viscera got his eyes raked and Samoan dropped Lillian, and then him and Charlie Haas locked the battle up together after a waste of time.
Yeah, they're friends now.
Yeah. Complete waste of time.
Edge and Lita are drunk, but the clerk shows up at the bar with the room keys. The room is ready now. Miz is here for the Diva search. Does not go well for him. He does not know anyone's name or phone number or how to vote, which are three things you need to know for this exercise. And he managed to not know any of them. But, you know, good for Miz. He stuck it out and made it work. And
where he meets his wife.
Yeah, exactly. Jim Duggan yells at Shane for picking on Eugene. Vince hits Hacksaw in the back with a chair. So it's kind of rude.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's going to introduce himself to Hulk Hogan and his daughter Brooke at Saturday night's main event. And then he wins a squash over Val Venus.
Edge and Lita were hanging out in their hotel room, and John Cena stormed in and tore the place up and tore them up.
Yeah, it was great.
Great angle.
Good stuff.
Great
angle. Love that.
Yeah.
Then we move on to Vince and Shane against Eugene in a no disqualification handicap match. Vince and Shane and Spirit Squad beat Eugene up. Eventually DX comes out. They stand on the stage and Vince says now, and then a net falls, but it misses them. And Eugene rolls them up for the win. And that was Raw.
Yes, it was.
It was definitely a Raw.
Yeah.
Definitely an episode of WWE TV in the mid-2000s.
Move on to ECW. July 11th, 2006, from the Target Center. Paul Heyman comes out and tried to save Rob Van Dam from himself and the fans last week. Van Dam wouldn't listen. He's burning himself out. Heyman had to take matters into his own hands. Tommy Dreamer wants an explanation, and Heyman's happy to give him one, but not right now, because Dreamer has a match against Test, and it's up next, and then Test just beats him down. We get the fortune teller lady, and then the vampire comes in, spits blood at the camera. Kelly and Candace dance together. Mike Knox comes in to stop it and gets caned by the Sandman.
This show sucks.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It gets good, I guess, after WrestleMania 23 is what I was told earlier today. But yeah. That's about 8 months from now.
Yes,
so.
It is. CM Punk's tattoos are declarations. They tell stories about who he is. Drug-free, honor. He's not just a kid. He's a disciplined athlete. Greatest competition.
It's true.
Yeah.
Sabu's in action against Justin Credible under normal rules.
Why is this match under normal rules?
Why are any of their matches under normal rules?
What is the deal?
Sabu does the Arabian Facebuster and gets disqualified, because of course he does, because that's one of like the three moves he has.
Yeah, I mean, get that. That's really stupid.
Well, you know, Flair Big Show's extreme rules, so you can't have multiple extreme rules matches. Ric Flair's going to beat the Big Show tonight. Also wants to tell Mick Foley that Foley can have any match he wants against Flair at SummerSlam. Shannon Moore's back. He looks different now. He's the reject Shannon Moore.
Not surprising that he's back here. I think he definitely was in Heyman's favor in 02 and 03.
Yeah. It's time for Flair against Big Show for the ECW Championship. Rick is bleeding pretty much right away. Takes a bump on the thumbtacks later on. Big Show wins with the Cobra Clutch and then throws Flair back into the thumbtacks. I actually remember this match being a lot better than it was. It was not very good. At the time, it was kind of cool, I guess, to see Flair doing this sort of stuff, but you know.
Kind of a mess.
Yeah. So that was ECW. Again, it's not a good show.
Nope. It is definitely not. Start of SmackDown, also from Minneapolis. William Regal came out, issued a proclamation that King Booker will defeat Rey Mysterio at the Great American Bash and become the World Heavyweight Champion. We were privileged to be in his presence, and after a while, Rey came down, attacked Booker and Regal and sent them running.
Yes.
Matt Hardy, for some reason, beat Mr. Kennedy. I don't know why that happened.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb in the moment. It'll get even more dumb as we go through the rest of these shows, which it's not entirely their fault, but
still kind of stupid.
Daivari and Kali come out. They want to know if the Undertaker's afraid of Kali. Probably not even there. The lights go out and come back on. Undertaker's in the ring, makes lightning strike right in front of Kali, who retreats to the back at Daivari's request. So they're ready for their big matchup in the Punjabi prison. Jamie Noble's in action against Paul London. Actually a pretty good match.
Yeah.
Kendrick gets the Pitbull's chain and tries to hit Noble with it, and the ref gets it out of the ring, but while he does, Kid Cash interferes, and Noble gets the win. So, really building that up, at least.
Yeah, they are.
Sylvain still wants us to visit Quebec. Mark Henry and Batista do a contract signing for their number one contenders match at Great American Bash. Teddy Long stops them from fighting. We get Finlay against Lashley for the United States Championship. Late in the match, Finlay starts throwing chairs in the ring, but Lashley kicks him out, and then Finlay gets the shillelagh, but doesn't hit Lashley with it, and then gets it back, and then he hits him with it that time, and Finlay's the U.S. champion.
He is.
This sure. Is first reign as U.S. champ, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Vito had to go to Mall of America wearing a dress. I don't... Yeah, I was looking. Like, maybe it was his idea and maybe he liked it, but I couldn't find anything that it was. They just made this guy do it for no reason. Audience of one, which hopefully we don't get stuff like that going forward.
Stuff that's just
clearly for one guy that, you know, has no grasp on what's actually funny. Rey Mysterio is in action against William Regal, which might have been the first time they wrestled, which is interesting.
Could have been.
Yeah. A lot of this match is dedicated to Michael Cole and Booker T arguing with each other. Ray overcomes the odds, though, and gets the win. This is 619 around the ring post to Booker to end the show. So that was SmackDown. But we're not done yet. We have Saturday night's main event.
What?
From Dallas. So
Dallas, Texas. This was actually at the American Airlines Center.
Yes.
Yeah. Last one was at the because see when they did that the Cobo Arena, I was like, oh, they're just gonna do it at like weird arenas, and they picked the actual arena.
Yeah. We opened the show with Hulk Hogan and his daughter Brooke. She's always dreamed about when she could be in a WWE ring. She hopes her career can be as successful as her father's. It will not. She's honored to be there.
I mean, decent TNA career, all things considered.
That's true. Hulk is thankful that Brooke looks like Linda, which. Gross. He's on the first Saturday night's main event. After all these years, Hulkamania is still running wild. Randy Orton comes out. Wasn't going to miss a chance to see Hulk and his beautiful daughter. He gives her a rose. Randy would like to respectfully challenge Hulk to a match at SummerSlam, and Hulk accepts. Brooke Hogan turned 18 like 6 weeks before this, by the way, so very gross.
Yeah.
King Booker, Mark Henry, and Finlay against Lashley, Rey Mysterio, and Batista. Mark Henry goes to attack Ray in the corner and hits his knee right on the turnbuckle and explodes his entire knee. Not great.
No.
Finlay gets taken out by Ray, and then Booker gets hit with a 619. Batista hits a Batista bomb, and the faces get the win. But yeah, Mark Henry's going to be out for a long time.
A while.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't even in my head think about when he pops back up.
I can't either. To be honest with you.
No, it's after WrestleMania, I believe, because yeah, he's sure. Not on Mania. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it might not be until Edge wins the World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's when we finally see him again. Yeah, that the memory jogs.
Yeah, no, that's crazy, because he was actually getting some momentum. And
that was, like, the Mark Henry, like, problem. Is like every time he gets a little bit of career momentum, he fizzles out because of his health. And, yeah, this is the height of Mark Henry. Like, you're finally getting a big main event push. You just did WrestleMania against The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, like, there's still some good things to come from Mark Henry. But this definitely was, like, a frustrating setback, I gotta believe. Because he's just really getting hot. And SmackDown could use some heels like him.
Yeah. His first big match back is One Night Stand 2007 when he has a lumberjack match against Kane.
Yeah.
So.
That's about right.
Yeah, that'll be good. Melina Nitro in action against Trish and Carlito. Carlito hits a backstabber and they win in like 2 minutes, which kind of strange. I don't know if they got some time cut or what. Earlier tonight, Kevin Von Erich was there. So that's nice that he got to be honored in Dallas.
Yes.
Spirit Squad against DX are up next in a 5-on-2 elimination match. If they're eliminated, you get moved to a holding cell at ringside. DX just sweeps them. I get it, but Spirit Squad should probably get one over on them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But they never do. So, you know, Kali and Daivari come out, and Big Show interrupts, and Undertaker comes out, clotheslines Kali, goes after Big Show, but Kali comes back and hits a double chokeslam on Big Show and Undertaker, which was kind of impressive. Sabu defeats Steven Richards in an Extreme Rules match, which, I mean, that's good. That's how it should be, I guess, but, yeah, you know.
You've seen one Sabu match, you've seen them all.
Yeah. I mean, he probably still could have been champion instead of Big Show, but, you know. Randy Orton's talking to Burke Hogan in the back as they're ready to leave. Hulk comes up, tells him to get lost, and then Randy leaves and then comes back and hits an RKO on the trunk of the car. Fair.
It's one of the better RKOs of all time.
Oh, yeah. We get Edge against Cena for the WWE title. Edge goes to leave right away, but Cena brings him back. Edge slipped on a superplex and almost killed Cena. That part wasn't good.
No.
Cena puts on the STFU, but Lita pulls the ref out of the ring, and Cena puts it back on. But Lita slaps the ref and gets disqualified, which I don't get why pulling him out isn't a disqualification, but yeah, kind of a dumb ending. The problem with the Saturday night's main events is that they don't feel different from the weekly TV.
Nope. And they're not presented any different.
Why they don't really run them too often after this one. A couple more, but yeah. You know. But yeah, that was the end of the first week. All right.
Are we doing some sports here in July?
Let me see here.
Yeah, what do we got? We got the MLB All-Star Game. We
should have World Cup finale.
Yeah, World Cup.
So we have the World Cup final on July 9th. Italy won 5-3 on penalties. And let's see. Yep. Zinedine Zidane threw the penalty in the 7th minute, only to have the score leveled.
Seventieth, he said, right?
7th, and then in the 110th minute, he had the infamous headbutt.
Oh, the goal! That's right. Sorry, I forgot he did hit a goal very early in that match in the 107th. Because I'm sitting there like, that was an extra time.
So he converted a penalty in the 7th minute, but then in the 110th, he had the infamous headbutt.
So that I would say is the second televised soccer match that I can remember seeing on TV. I probably have seen others on TV, but the only other one that I can like vividly remember was the 99 Women's World Cup. This was a great match, but just like the insanity of someone just headbutting someone. And then to me, you know, basketball fan, it looked like a fucking dive. It probably was, but like, he can't headbutt somebody. That was wild.
Yeah. And then elsewhere, Roger Federer won Wimbledon, his 4th consecutive title. At Wimbledon, he defeated Nadal, which was very early in his domination of tennis.
Yeah.
On Monday, July 10th, Ryan Howard won the 2006 Home Run Derby in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Edging David Wright 5-4 in the final round. He also led all competitors by hitting 23 home runs.
5-4 in the final round.
5-4 in the final round. Jesus Christ. You could tell this was one of the post-steroid era home runs.
Well, yeah, listen, again, for all the bad stuff that MLB has done, changing the Home Run Derby has been the one good thing.
Agreed.
So.
Very much agreed. And then on Tuesday, in the MLB All-Star Game, Michael Young, down to his last strike, with 2 out of the top of the 9th, hit a 2-run triple to give the AL a 3-2 win over the NL. This is the first 9th inning come-from-behind win in the All-Star Game since 1964, when Johnny Callison homered to win that game in New York. So that's what happened there. Let's see, anything on Wednesday. Let's see. The East beat the West in the WNBA All-Star Game at MSG. Kate Douglas won MVP and scored 16 points. Let's see if there's anything else here. Unfortunately, Barbaro developed pneumonitis during recovery from their injuries at the Preakness, and his condition has been described as poor.
Yeah, it's not going to be great.
Yeah. And then it said that Bruce Arena's contract as USA Men's head coach would not be renewed by the U.S. Soccer Federation, meaning he would leave the team end of 2006. And nothing really going on Saturday. On Sunday, before we get into this next round, Let's see. Chipper Jones tied a 79-year-old major league record by hitting an extra base hit in his 14th straight game as he homered in the Braves' 10-5 win over the Padres. Also, the Mets hit two grand slams, one by Cliff Floyd and the other by Carlos Beltran, as they beat the Cubs 13-7. Marked the first time that two grand slams were hit in the same inning since Fernando Tatis hit two in the third inning against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium April 1999.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we get into the next week here. It's going down. Stays number 5 on the charts. Hips Don't Lie is down from 2 to 4. Me and You's up to 3. Crazy's up to 2. And Promiscuous stays at number 1. In the movies, Devil Wears Prada is down to 5. Superman Returns down to 4. Debuting at number 3 is Little Man. Debuting at number 2 is You, Me, and Dupree. And staying at number 1 is Pirates of the Caribbean. So,
I can't say I've seen either 2 or 3. Actually, I did see Little Man. I just don't remember it. It's not good.
Yeah. So we move to Raw, July 17th from San Antonio. Open the show with DX issuing a public service announcement. They showed all the things that they've been doing to Vince lately. The show starts. They come to the ring. Sean plugs their new shirt. Triple H and Sean are kind of incredulous if Vince has been mad at them lately. DX challenges Vince and Shane to a match for that night, but Vince comes out and says that DX doesn't run things Vince and Shane do. And instead, tonight, Sean will go one-on-one with Shane.
You guys really need to see that.
Yes.
Carlito and Shelton Benjamin wrestled in a number one contender match for the IC title. Todd Grisham called it the Cruiserweight Championship.
He did.
These two worked well together. Shelton went for a roll-up late. Tried to grab the ropes, but he's too far away. Carlito rolled it over, and he grabbed the ropes for pinfall. Fun finish. Always nice to see the heel get outsmarted in that sort of way and get their own medicine.
Yes.
So. Good finish. Trish and Jordy beat Mickey and Victoria in pretty much a nothing match. Maria interviewed Armando Alejandro Estrada and Umaga about his match with John Cena.
Yeah, it's a big match.
Umaga's wrestling John Cena. Mick Foley cut a promo on Ric Flair from the WWE Studios, running him down. He said there will be no rematch like he said before.
Yes. Visser and Charlie Haas will not explain their actions from last week. I don't really care. I mean, it sucks for Lillian, but you know. The Highlanders beat two jobbers and challenge a spirit spot for the tag titles. DX welcomes the Highlanders to the U.S. and tell them to go and meet with Vince in his office and bond with him by suggesting things that they know he does not like. Matt Stryker's here for whatever his stupid in-ring show was called. Classroom, I think. After the bell, whatever.
Yeah.
His guest is John Cena. Cena basically just tells him to get lost, and he's got a match with Umaga. So that happens. They start kind of fighting while the show's going on still, and then it rolls right into the match. Cena gets the upper hand, but eventually Umaga gets control. Edge and Lita come out to watch at ringside. Armando gets on the apron to distract the ref. Edge comes in. Cena tries to hit him with an FU, but Umaga hits a Samoan spike and gets the win. So Umaga's racking up the wins, man.
You know, I'm going back and forth on this because this is a bold thing to do, but I don't think you should have the top babyface lose on TV like that. Especially
no, but it
when
was
they're chasing a championship.
It wasn't clean, though. I mean,
it wasn't clean.
It's John Cena.
Yeah, it's John Cena, but still, like, that's why he shouldn't lose.
Yeah, but
don't book the match.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah,
I don't know. I get being bold with this, but you're also not returning to this until fucking December and January.
Mm, yeah,
it's like, and if I recall correctly, it doesn't even tie into that because they, you know, used Nitro.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
sticks him on. Like, it's just, you know, this is neat.
I mean, Umaga beat Flair and he beat Sean.
Yeah, but that's Flair and Sean. I mean, Sean at that point can take losses.
Yeah.
And they need some. You don't need to have your top babyface when he's chasing after a championship after they had that stupid finish on Saturday lose just like that. Like, it's dumb.
Well, that's fair.
I don't want to say it out loud the more I can. I like the boldness of it.
The Highlanders are in Vince's office eating his food and such, and he tells them to get out of there. Randy Orton beats Eugene. Ric Flair comes out, reissues his challenge to Mick Foley for a hardcore match. Johnny Nitro and Melina come out. Nitro tells Flair to listen to what Mick's been saying, that Rick is out of Mick's life, means nothing to him. He's never going to get an answer from Mick, but Nitro will, and he hits Rick with a cheap shot. Rick starts to fight back, but he accidentally hits Melina, and he apologizes, and he stops, and he leaves. Yeah.
Well, the Shawn Michaels Shane McMahon match was interrupted because the Spirit Squad came out and caused a disqualification. Triple H came in with a sledgehammer, and he and Shawn cleared the ring, and that's the end of it, which is not a good show.
No,
The mid-card is the best part of this show, and they get like one or two segments. And Nitro is tied in with Flair and Foley, which is just kind of dumb.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly have to kind of reshuffle things and figure out who their featured players are going to be, because that's the problem they're having on SmackDown too, which we'll get into.
I feel like Cena and Edge are just not getting in focus. That sucks.
Yeah. We move to ECW.
Yeah.
July 18th from Corpus Christi. Kelly dances to start the show, and Mike Knox stops it, says that what he's about to do, Sandman, is Kelly's fault. They have a match and start brawling on the outside. Knox gets the upper hand. Sandman gets a Singapore cane. But Mike Knox pulls Kelly in front of him, and she takes the cane shot. And then Mike Knox hits a low blow on Sandman, gets the win. Kelly leaves on a stretcher. Paul Heyman's here, accompanied by riot guards. Repeats what he said last week. You know, he did what he did to Van Damme for the greater good. Before he goes too far, Tommy Dreamer comes out and says that, you know, he stood by him through good times and bad, but he's ready for an explanation. And Heyman kisses Tommy on the mouth and then leaves as Tess kicks the shit out of him. It's a very strange show.
Yeah.
Sabu beats Steven Richards. I'm not going to watch him wrestle again. I watch it on Saturday night's main event. CM Punk has been trained in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and kickboxing in addition to wrestling. So he is a force to be reckoned with, and he'll be here in a couple weeks. Vampire's back with the fortune-telling lady. Her cards show that Big Show's title reign will not last long. It's very ominous. Big Show is in action, by the way, against The Undertaker. Undertaker's here. You know, there's two guys that, if you've seen them wrestle before, you know, they don't really work well together. I mean, I haven't seen their kind of 1999 stuff that had any, but
2008 stuff is genuinely surprisingly good, but that's it.
Did they not have a big match in the Attitude Era?
They were a tag team for a couple of months, and then Taker took his leave of absence.
Oh, yeah. Undertaker did counter a sleeper by just kind of climbing ropes and doing old school, which was cool. I'll give him that. Kali comes out and causes a double count out. Kali and Big Show chokeslam Undertaker through a table. I don't know how sustainable Big Show just facing guys from other brands is going to be. They should probably build up some other ECW people, but, you know. SmackDown, also in Corpus Christi. Teddy Long's in the ring. Mark Henry's been injured. Will not face Batista at the Great American Bash. Instead, Batista will just be the number one contender now. Brings Mr. Kennedy out. And, you know, everyone's been talking about Mr. Kennedy, not about Batista. So Mr. Kennedy wants to face Batista at the Great American Bash. He's just fine with that because he has 6 months of pent-up rage and aggression to take out, and he's going to take it out on Mr. Kennedy.
We get Kid Cash versus Ryan Kendrick. Paul London tried to stop Noble from interfering, but instead distracted the ref while Noble interfered, and Kid Cash got the win. Chavo Guerrero talked to Teddy Long. Booker and Charmel came in and complained about Rey Mysterio. He's tired of people complaining about Rey. Booker told Chavo to mind his own business. He should.
He should.
Challenge Ray to a match tonight, and Ray accept. Then tag team match, Ashley and Jillian defeated Michelle, Cool, and Crystal.
Yeah, you know, no offense to SmackDown Women's Division, but they don't have a title, so it's just like,
bingo.
Nothing matters.
It's like, you don't have to fill the quota. You're not going to make a title, you don't have to fill the quota.
Yeah.
Because that's all you're doing. It's very obvious. There's no story you're building.
Exactly.
It's stupid. It's useless. It's just total. No one appreciates. Miz interviewed Lashley about Lashley losing his United States Championship. He said he'll get his revenge because he always loves to play. Also, we get a U.S. title match between Lashley and Finlay. Regal and Hornswoggle interfered to cause disqualification. Took down Regal and Finlay. Hornswoggle hit him with a low ball.
Yeah. We get Super Crazy against Psychosis. Well, grudge match. Gregory Helms on commentary. He's the longest reigning cruiserweight champion of all time already. So, Super Crazy does a springboard dropkick to the outside and the moonsault, which is pretty cool. And then he got Psychosis back in the ring and got the win. So then it's time for Booker T against Rey Mysterio. Booker's just trying to wear Rey down before their match on Sunday, which is working for him for a while. But then Rey gets the upper hand. Rey goes for 619, but Charmel trips him. And Booker goes to hit a bookend, but Rey gets his foot on the rope at two, and he goes for a scissors kick, and Chavo trips him, and Rey hits a 619 and gets the win. So that was SmackDown.
Yes, it was. Now we move to the Great American Bash.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Canseco, where Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I think it was still Canseco Fieldhouse.
Yeah, it was. It's also not the Bankers Life Fieldhouse anymore. It's the Market Bridge or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, before we do that, actually, let me see if we're talking about the sports. Seems like it. As of right now. Let's see. On July 20th, the grand jury investigating Barry Bonds expired today after announcing that he would not be indicted at this time. The attorney's office in the U.S. neither confirmed nor denied, and a new grand jury will convene next week with the possibility of charging him on tax evasion and perjury. And not really anything popping much in the world of sports.
No, that's fair. The opening video focuses on Undertaker and Kali and Ray against Booker. No surprise there. But we open with the Pitbulls against London and Kendrick for the WWE tag titles. Really makes sense as the opener. Just kind of fast-paced tag match. London and Kendrick do a double suicide dive, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kid Cash is going for a brainbuster as the finish, but before he can get London up, Kendrick tagged himself in, did a sunset flip, and got the win. So that's cool. I like that. Teddy Long is here. Bobby Lashley has elevated liver enzymes and can't compete tonight. He comes out and says that he's upset about the news, but doesn't think there's anything wrong with him, so he doesn't know why he can't wrestle, and he eventually leaves. Finlay and Regal come out and say that he's a coward, but Teddy Long promised a United States title match, and that's what's going to happen. Finlay's going to face Regal. Neither of them are very happy about it.
This match could have been better.
Yeah, I don't know how much time they had to get it going or whatever, but it didn't really have any heat. And it was heel against heel, and no one really cared. Regal got the shillelagh, and the ref took it back and got it out of the ring. But while he did that, Finlay hit Regal with a boot and retained the title. So it was fine.
And Chavo told Ray that everyone was proud of him. He's been a great champion. He should go out there and keep that going tonight. In a match that was not advertised or set up on TV at all, but did happen, probably because they had made some changes tonight.
Yeah.
Gregory Helms beat Matt Hardy in a non-title match. Also, Rick Pauly has elevated liver enzymes, but he didn't say that. Instead, he got, him and Taker got into a brawl, and then Big Show kind of beat up Undertaker. Pauly was kind of, trash talking or whatever. They're like, okay, well, you're going to be in the Punjabi prison. The prison match was set. So it's Taker, Big Show, and the Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, I should have looked more into this liver enzyme thing, but what's the deal with this?
They kind of just had an outbreak. And they just had to...
That's such a weirdly specific thing, though.
It is, yeah. I don't really, recall too much of it, because I was like, getting tapped in, but I just remember there being, an outbreak, sort of like what happened to TLC 2017.
Yeah, that's fair. So Undertaker and Big Show have the Punjabi prison match, which I had never seen the first one before earlier today, and it's not very good. No. The rules are hard to understand. It lasts about 25 minutes, and there are four doors, and one of the doors gets open, and if you don't get out the door in 60 seconds, it gets padlocked shut. Eventually, they both end up in the middle part of the cage, and Big Show kind of throws Undertaker through the wall, and Undertaker gets the win, even though they both hit the ground at the same time. So he won. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. They did a fatal four-way on any match. Ashley won. Miz interviewed Mr. Kennedy, who said that he beat Batista. They wrestle. Batista was taking out all of his pent-up rage and frustration. Eventually, Kennedy gets a bit of control, but turns back. And he threw Kennedy in the corner and choked him, refused to let him go, so he gets the swap fight. So that's another world champion that Mr. Kennedy has technically beaten.
Yeah.
So I get, they kind of whisk this match together. You might as well have a non.
Yeah.
Weird, but they're protecting Kennedy because they think
high. So move to Booker against Ray for the World Heavyweight Championship. And, nothing on this show I don't think is particularly bad except Punjabi Prison. Just no one really cares about any of it because a lot of it's thrown together. Or in the case of this one, no one cares about Ray anymore because why should they?
Exactly.
Booker does the Three Amigos, which very disrespectful. Charmel got ejected. We had a ref bump. Chavo came out with a chair and looked like he was going to hit Booker, but he hit Ray instead on purpose, and then Booker pinned Ray to win the title, which is cool for Booker. I mean, he deserved that.
Yeah.
He deserved it, 3 years ago, so it's good that it's finally happening for him. But, yeah, that was a Great American Bash. It was not very good, but there's only so much that you can blame on them, I guess, exactly. So whatever.
Yeah, and, You went to, Booker should have had it years ago, and totally, like, I completely agree. Booker should have been champion long ass time ago. I hate that I was at the expense of Ray, and Ray not getting a true opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that they pivoted at this particular point in time, and, you know, great character for Booker to get the belt back too, because
I expecting
Booker to do it as, you know, the uber face that he was, the big baby face, but he put together an awesome heel character.
Yeah,
I think that was pretty remarkable about the Ray.
And like, it's pretty clear when Batista comes back, like, it's going back to him, and he's not going to beat Ray for it. So, you know, you kind of have to do what you got to do here. Like, Batista's not going to not win the title back. So, you know,
yeah,
I get it. So move on to our third week here. Top five songs stay the exact same. It's going down to 5. Hips Don't Lie is at 4. Me and You is at 3. Crazy's at 2. Promiscuous at 1. Movies, Little Man's down to 5. You Mean Dupree's down to 4. Debuting at 3 is Lady in the Water, which I know you saw in theaters.
Unfortunately, I didn't see that in theaters, yes. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. It's such a waste of money, and it just, I don't know, I have no idea what I was thinking. Summer, going into freshman year of high school, I was definitely sober at the time, unfortunately. But we make bad decisions.
You didn't know yet not to trust M. Night?
Nope. Even though I had seen The Village, even though I had seen... There was another terrible M. Night movie that I can't remember from the mid-2000s also that I saw. That was really unfortunate that I saw. But I'll think of it.
Debuting at number 2 is Monster House, which is a fine movie. And staying at number 1, Pirates of the Caribbean. So we can get into Raw, July 24th from Cleveland. DX is here to open the show, but it's actually just Shawn Michaels. Shawn says a couple weeks ago they pulled a prank that Stephanie McMahon had gone into labor, but tonight that actually happened. Vince is at the hospital, so is Shane. Triple H is also at the hospital keeping an eye on everything just to, you know, make sure no one gets out of hand. Coach comes out, says that he'll be in action tonight going one-on-one with Shawn, and, you know, good luck to Coach on that.
Yeah.
Highlanders face the Spirit Squad for the tag titles, and Spirit Squad just overwhelm them with numbers and beat them, which kind of a strange decision to run that match, but yes. You know. Mick Foley says that since Ric Flair attacked Melina last week, he'll be there next week to confront Flair in person.
Yes, next week in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Foley is a really weird thing at this time where he is very into Melina to like an uncomfortable level and writes about her in his book and stuff. It's very strange.
Yeah, the whole angle's bad.
Yeah. Flair comes out, issues a challenge with Foley yet again. I mean, he just said he was going to be there next week. So Edge comes out and says that Flair isn't the man anymore. Edge is. And Edge and Nitro beat down Flair, but John Cena comes out and makes a save. Carlito's talking to Trish. They're going to hang out after his match, so good for him. Coach books Edge and Nitro against Cena and Flair tonight in the main event. Todd Grisham comes out and announces that Stephanie McMahon had a baby girl. So congratulations to her.
Yes.
Then we get Shelton Benjamin against Carlito, which another number one contenders match because last week did not have a clean finish. Shelton wins this time, except he used a low blow. So I guess he's number one contender, but he also cheated like Carlito did last week. So see how that goes, I guess. Hulk Hogan is here. There's a bunch of Hulkamaniacs in Cleveland. You know, Randy's in a lot of trouble. He interrupted Hulk and Brooke during Saturday night's main event. Now one's trying to talk to Hogan about respect. Randy has no respect. Hulk's not worried, though. He dealt with Randy's father back in the day. Randy comes out and tells Hulk that he'll have to wait till SummerSlam to deal with Randy. Randy's not out here to confront him. He's out there to talk about Brooke. You know, they have chemistry. Randy heads to the ring, but then backs down. But then Jerry Lawler gets up and throws him into the ring, which, you know, mind your own business, man. Hogan punches him, and then Randy leaves. I don't know. It's not very good.
There's an equally terrible segment coming up next week. I'm just going to warn you guys. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a spoof off Hogan Knows Best. It's absolutely terrible.
That's
one of the worst segments I've ever had the misfortune to see live.
That's not great.
I have not seen it since I originally was there in the building. So I am not looking forward to watching this game. It's very bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just warning you guys in advance. Mm-hmm. It's very bad.
Fair enough. Mickey beats Candice. Shawn Michaels is in action against Coach, and Shawn destroys him for a bit, and Spirit Squad come out, and they get destroyed, but then Umaga comes out, Sean is overwhelmed and gets Mo and Spike, and match is kind of over. Maurice eliminated from the Diva Search. Think she'll be okay.
Yeah.
Then we move on to Nitro and Edge against Cena and Flair. Cena and Flair dump Nitro and Edge over the top rope right away and start posing as we go to commercial. Later in the match, Cena gets a hot tag and clears out the ring, and him and Flair get the win. Basically just a house show match on TV, which is fine once in a while. I mean, you know, that was Raw.
It was. Now we move to ECW in Detroit. Mike Knox faces the Sandman, but Test came in like a minute after and beat Sandman down for the disqualification.
Sure.
I guess Test is rallying against the originals and said that if he and Mike Knox team up, they'll be unstoppable. Tommy Jr. came out and attacked both trash can before being pulled off by security.
So yeah.
That's happened.
Sabu tells Paul Heyman that he wants to face Big Show for the title. Heyman turns him down and actually gives him the rest of the night off. And Heyman turns around and says little Guido was laughing at him, so Heyman has his security attack little Guido, who is in action next. But before that, you can see CM Punk telling us that he was born in Chicago and raised on the streets, so he knows how to fight. Next week, we can see him fight.
Sure. Next week, they're at Hammerstein.
Yeah. The Vampire squashes Nunzio. Justin Credible's in action against Balls Mahoney under normal rules. Ends up with Balls Mahoney hitting Justin Credible with a chair for disqualification. Yeah,
just stupid. Just not being in touch with what ECW is all about.
Yeah.
Stop.
Big Show is in action against Kane for the ECW Championship in Extreme Rules match. Not bad, but you know, we've seen him wrestle a couple times already in the past few months. Big Show goes for chokeslam, but Kane reverses it into a DDT, and Heyman pulls the ref out of the ring. Then Big Show recovers and chokeslams Kane right onto a chair for the win. And as Big Show's getting out of the ring, Sabu drop kicks the chair right into his face. So maybe Sabu will get his title shot after all.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Then we move to SmackDown. Let's see. So that's also, of course, in Detroit. Okay. And we start off with Mr. Kennedy versus Batista. It's a good physical match. They both end up on the outside. Kennedy got back in for a 10 count. Batista's not. So once again, he's beating the former world champion.
Nope.
But just, you know, checking the piece of the process. And Vito defeated Simon Lee in the next set.
Yes. Then after that, we had Rey Mysterio telling Miz that he's not thinking about Chavo right now. He's only thinking about reclaiming the title. Sylvain picked up a win against Tatanka. Michelle McCool picked up a win against Jillian Hall. Michael Cole's interviewing Chavo via satellite. Chavo's not there tonight for personal reasons, but he'll be there next week and he'll explain everything. He's kind of wasted everyone's time there. King Booker gets coronated, which takes a long time, but it ends with Ray coming out and attacking him. Rest had to pull him off, but he fought back, hit a 619 on Booker, and then left. Finlay against William Regal for the United States Championship is up next. Hornswoggle hits Regal with a low blow, and Finlay rolls him up for the win. Regal's very embarrassed and upset that he's been got like this. Paul Heyman's mad at Teddy Long for putting Big Show in the Punjabi prison. Now he wants someone to come to ECW. Teddy says that's fine, and Batista will come and face Big Show next week.
Once again, talk about something that you're just not in touch with. You're going to result in a bit of a clash for your Hammerstein Ballroom show.
Yeah.
Because I do not remember that Batista reaction being very good at all.
No, they probably should have just brought Rob Van Dam back for it. It's because who cares? I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's back next week, by the way, as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That'll last. Sylvester Turquet is here, debuting with his manager, Elijah Burke, and picks up a big win over Matt Hardy.
Yes.
And then it's time for a main event. Rey Mysterio against Booker T for the World Heavyweight Championship. Chavo Guerrero comes out late in the match, even though he said he wasn't there. Attacked Rey when he was on the floor, rolled him back into the ring, and Booker got the victory. So Ray's going to move on to Chavo, and Booker's going to move on to Batista. So that's it.
That's how you end a feud, and that's how you kickstart others. Mm-hmm. Get Ray up out of here. All in favor of Booker, say aye.
Yes, aye.
Yeah, I think that's an easy way to do that. You got the three episodes. That easy. How about that? Next time you hear from us, we'll continue previewing Clash at the Castle. We'll also get into the month of August. Yay!
Yes.
Dog days of summer. SummerSlam 06 is coming up. I forgot the theme of SummerSlam 06. I'm just trying to get to 07.
There were actually two of them. One of them was The Enemy by Godsmack, and the other was Cobra Style by the Teddy Bears.
Alright. Sure. Anyway, I'm waiting until 2007 so we get wind up. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Wind up. Yeah.
It's a great one. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robin031. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. www.thebcnnet.com, I believe, is our website now. I believe so. We have finally started our NFL season preview. 2 minute drill, same time as this. Go ahead and flip it over now. We're previewing the AFC and the NFC East. Very cool. You'll be surprised to hear where I have a couple of teams in those divisions, but alas, we'll be back very, very soon. Continue previewing and talking wrestling. For Rob and Chris, I'm Pierce. We'll see you guys later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.